Hey there, and welcome to episode 8, season 2. I almost said season 1. Lordy. Season 2, Rainbow Bridge Connection. I am Kayla, and I am solo again. I'm going to explain to you exactly why I'm solo. You guys are probably like, okay, where's Nikki, guys? Like, because, you know, when you record our podcast, there's always the, especially when it's like a duo or multiple people in the podcast, there's always like the one person that you really like hearing input from or talking because you like their voice or their personality. And then there's always the one that you're like don't like as much. And hopefully it isn't me because you guys are really going to be bummed out when you hear that this episode is a solo Kayla episode again. I apologize. It's not anything. I'll give you a little update. So basically Nikki's super, super busy still with everything that's been going on. She's like doing amazing things in this world with the rescue and, you know, rescuing dogs and doing great things. And she's working a lot. And so, unfortunately, she's not able to be on this episode. And we did record an episode last week that we were so excited. I was really excited to get out because I think it was a beautiful episode. But unfortunately, I thought it would be a bright idea to use a new software when we record this episode, which it was like the worst episode we could have used the new software on. And unfortunately found out that this software is not going to work with how we create content. And we lost that episode. And that episode was a memorial episode for the loss of Nikki's Sammy boy that passed away 2 months ago. And so we will get that episode out for you guys again eventually. I just, as someone who created a podcast to help people with companion animal grief, did not feel right forcing my co-host to, you know, relive kind of that trauma again by pumping out content about grief. And it's still kind of raw, and that's the last thing that I wanted to do. So I'm going to give Nikki time, and we will do the episode. We will get the episode out for you guys for sure. But it's just going to be a little bit later than we had originally planned because I just want to make sure that we're, you know, going along with grief's plan. So that's what's going on. In that episode, we also discussed, me and Nikki, there are some things that are going on personally and that we are probably going to be taking a small hiatus for a little bit. I know that's like not what you guys want to hear. It's not really something that we wanted to do, but with everything going on, it's probably what's best instead of rushing and pumping out content to you guys and not really like putting a lot of thought and effort and time into it. We don't want ever for this to feel like that for you guys or for us to feel like that. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to share a couple of personal things with you guys on why we're going to take the hiatus. So hopefully you guys will understand a little bit more and we're more transparent. I always feel like when people are very vague about situations that happen when they're, you know, doing podcasts and stuff like that, it always kind of makes me feel sad because it's like, I thought, you know, we were bros, man. But so basically 3 weeks ago, my paternal grandfather passed away suddenly and unexpected. And then a week after he passed away, we found out that my maternal, see, I try to be all so smart and I missed it. My maternal grandfather was diagnosed with cancer that is non-operable. So there was an amount of time that was given to him to live, and it's not long, and it's not as long as, you know, anything that you would hope for when you get something like a diagnosis like that. So on top of all of that, I'm graduating college at the end of this month, And so I'm super, super busy. There is a lot going on. And, you know, honestly, I just kind of wanted to take this hiatus to, you know, attempt to spend as much time as possible with my family member that was given the diagnosis. And also to kind of finish up this semester, because it has been a rough semester. Any of you that have been in college, you, or even high school was like this. The end is like so hard because you just want to be done, but there's so much to do and so many papers and so many things to, you know, write and see theses and blah, 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 blah. So I'm just trying to finish that all up so I can actually get to graduation and then be done with all of it. So we're just going to take a small break so that we can kind of reboot and get going and get you guys some really, really good content, some really, really good interviews. And we're just really excited for the future, but also we just need kind of a little bit of a break. In this episode, I wanted to bring up, we had two community members. Oh, that's what I'm going to call you guys, our community members. We had two community members reach out to us with stories of their companion animals passing. And it kind of triggered both of their stories, kind of triggered a topic that me and Nikki had been like throwing around for a while to talk about. And I think we briefly brought it up in two other episodes, but it wasn't ever gone into detail. And so I'm going to do like a quick little overview for you guys of this topic, but me and Nikki really plan on going into much more detail, personal stories, all that. I am fortunate that currently I don't have any personal stories of this specific topic, but I know other people that have, and I know Nikki has many stories of this personally and with this topic. So we are going to go way more into depth with this topic a little later, but I just wanted to give you guys some content before we were like, adios, we're going to leave for a little bit. So the first shout out that I want to do, and I'm going to say I hate that word in this type of, when I'm talking about this type of thing. Shout out is, to me, seems like a like, oh, like positive, you know, blah. But when you're talking about the grief and someone's loss of their companion animal, I feel like shout out is just kind of icky to me. So if you guys can think of like another word we can call these, like another word that would be good, that's like the people that reach out to tell their stories about their companion animals, or, you know, felt comfortable enough to talk to us about something, we need to find like a good word that would like, you know, like jive, like mesh well with our content that isn't like so like shout out. So if you guys have any like suggestions, reach out to us on our social medias or our email, and we would love to hear them, because I just hate saying shout out, but I can't for the life of me think of another word to use. So the first person that reached out to us, her name was Adora. She was reaching out about the loss of her companion animal. She passed away 2.5 years ago. Her name was Shyla. She was a King's Cavalier Spaniel, and she sent a picture of Shyla, and Shyla is gorgeous. She was ruby, and I didn't know what that meant. Like, I'm not well-versed. I'm a cattle dog person, so I'm not well-versed in a lot of different breeds. I try to know as much as I can about animals and about dogs in general. Like, I try to learn everything I possibly can about breeds because I think it's so interesting. But, you know, I'm going to be honest, King's Cavalier Spaniels, I don't really know very much about them at all. I know that their personalities are fantastic and they're amazing companion animals, but I didn't really know a lot overall. And she gave me some information that was really, really interesting about specifically King's Cavalier Spaniels that I didn't know. But she actually was a therapy dog. And when she was 6 months old, someone had suggested it to Adora that Shyla be a therapy dog. And I give mad props to owners and to, you know, pet parents, companion animal parents, and Shyla. Yeah, absolutely, Shyla. But like, to companion animals that have that personality and that like drive to be able to do, you know, service dog, therapy dog, all that stuff. Because I feel like it kind of is like the same thing as it is with humans, where you got to have that personality. So that companion animal has to have that personality to be able to be in those programs, to be able to do the training, to be able to be involved in that kind of stuff. And anybody who has those personalities, you know, the companion animal or the companion animal parent, like, good for you. You're doing an amazing job. And like, we need people like you in the world, because people like you in the world, because if there wasn't people like you, then we wouldn't have these amazing programs where, you know, therapy dogs or, you know, service dogs could be there for us, you know, in the ways that they are. And I think it's great. She was saying that Shyla would go to nursing homes and schools, and that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so we appreciate just that. That's great that she was a part of that program and that she was so involved with that. And then, unfortunately, Adora lost Devlin, who was Shyla's best friend and brother, 3 weeks ago. And so we just want to give you love and light, Adora, and love and light to Shyla and Devlin both. And just tell you that you're a part of this community and we appreciate you. We appreciate you sharing your beautiful story and your backstory about how you got Shyla and everything. And we appreciate you. And our listeners, send love and light to Adora. And we just really appreciate you reaching out. So the next one that I wanted to read, her name was amazing. And I hope I say this right. I'm not sure. I apparently the way this name is spelled and the way like the it could be pronounced different depending on the location it's being used. So I apologize if I'm not with the correct location. I didn't want to be like super creeper and like stalk your Facebook to see where you lived or Instagram or anything. So I hope that I am saying this pronunciation correctly. Roisin reached out to us on Instagram and she reached out to us to talk about her companion animal that recently passed away September of 2021. Her name was Lucy and she had had her for 12 years and she really did this amazing job where she communicated to us about Lucy's legacy and how much Lucy meant to her, but also tied in her experiences with different episodes that we have recorded. And that was amazing to hear. I really like when we can hear other people's opinions or maybe their specific stories that tie in with what we've gone through. And so we really appreciate you reaching out, Roisin, and letting us know about Lucy and how great Lucy is. And we want to send you and Lucy love and light. And we want you to know that you're a part of our community and we appreciate you very much. And she actually, while through talking to her, she brought up Lucy had a brother and his name is Simtex. It's so cute. And, you know, she wanted to, you know, talk just a little bit about, you know, that not only was her and her husband grieving, but Simtex was as well. And she wanted to, you know, just let us know that, you know, that there is grief processes for companion animals as well. And we wholeheartedly agree. Me and Nikki wholeheartedly agree. And I wanted to do just a quick little episode to get this out for you guys, but we will definitely go into more detail later about this whole topic. But I wanted to just talk about a little bit about helping your pet grieve. And this can be grieving another companion animal, maybe grieving a family member that was a part of the household that maybe moved out or isn't a part of the household anymore or passed away, or maybe even grieving like where they used to live or, you know, the person that used to take care of them. So this can be in all aspects of that. This isn't just specifically to the loss of another companion animal, but it definitely pertains to all of the above. So basically the start of it just was a quick question of, like, do pets grieve? Any of us that have had companion animals know 100% unequivocally, yes, they grieve. So to put pet grief in, like, a relatable term, pets, but especially dogs, respond to loss like a human toddler. So when you're looking at your companion animal during this time, it, you know, there's been a loss and you suspect that your companion animal is grieving. A good way of looking at it is if the companion animal is grieving much like a human toddler. Like, you can expect very similar things from a companion animal as a human toddler. Apparently they did a study, the ASPCA specifically did a study that 60% of pets experience 4 or more behavioral changes after losing another companion. So, and like I said, this doesn't have to pertain specifically just to death. This could be them losing someone that lived in the household with them, or anything that relates to that. They tend to not totally understand the concept of death as an everlasting separation, but they recognize and feel that there's a sense of loss. So I think a lot of times too, you know, with companion animals, there is that typical thing that we have talked about multiple times, me and Nikki and other guests have talked about, that they're very in tune with your feelings, that companion animals tend to be very in tune with how you're feeling. And so they know if you are you are feeling an intense amount of grief for a situation, I'm sure that they can kind of feel that too. And there's that grief portion with that as well. They gave a couple of signs that your pet may be grieving, and these can be just basic signs that you can look for if there's been a loss in your household. And the first one would be change in appetite. So they eat less usually following the loss of a companion, especially if the deceased was the quote-unquote leader of the household. So, say, like, the pack leader, or, you know, the main leader is the one that passed away, they definitely will exhibit the change in appetite. Without the alpha dog to initiate the feeding, mealtime routine is disrupted, and the surviving companion animal might eat less. There was a study in New Zealand that 30% of pets have decreased appetites after losing a companion animal, which I find is very interesting because that's a pretty big percentage. The second would be changes in vocalization. Companion animals may bark, meow, howl more than usual after the loss of a companion. They said that cats are more likely to increase their noise making than dogs, but they both may whine. And then you should just watch for an increase or a decrease in vocalizations, because if you're, you know, say your companion animal, your dog, you lost one of your other companion animals and your dog normally barks at the mailman or the Amazon driver, and they're not doing that, then that is also a sign that they are, you know, following in a journey of grief. Any changes in their habits. Some companion animals might sleep more than usual. In the same study in New Zealand, about 30% of grieving dogs and 20% of cats tend to nap more. And their habits change. For example, pets pace. So any companion animal might pace more. They might hide or they might sulk. It really depends on their I don't want to say kind of. They are. They're just like humans. So they're just like how we talk about on this show that, like, no person's grief is the same. It's not a linear thing. it's the same thing with companion animals. Their grief isn't going to look the same. Every companion animal is going to have a different form of grief and a different way that they show it. The next thing to watch for is changes in personality. So in the same study that they did in New Zealand, 60% of dogs and cats were clinging to their humans after the loss of the pack member. But they also said that it could be the opposite, where they're more withdrawn. It really all depends. They may lack interest in playtime or show signs of separation anxiety or be destructive. So I know it's really hard when you're going through grief and you're on your own grief journey. And so, like, you're having to worry about the fact that you just lost your companion animal. And now you have another animal in the household that you're going to have to, you know, comfort or, you know, make sure that they're okay. And they might act out. You just kind of got to remember that they're hurting just as much as you, and to be patient and maybe work through the grief together to try and be better about, you know, I mean, just like grief with humans, people get, you know, habits as well that when they're grieving that aren't, you know, the typical, like, you stuff you don't want to see, like addiction and stuff like that. So just be aware, just be more cognizant that they're grieving too. And, you know, they might be destructive and they might do things that they used to not do. The fourth one is changes in grooming or bathroom habits. Maybe, you know, going in the house or missing the litter box if it's a cat. And this is a really good one I didn't even think of. If your cat or dog doesn't groom themselves, that could be a sign of, like, depression with the grief. And then the last one is seeking behavior. Ooh, and this one makes me want to cry so hard. Approximately 60% of pets repeatedly look for lost companions in their normal napping spots. If you're
motion detected at your front door.
Apparently there's motion at my front door. Sorry, guys. I thought I turned my ringer off. My apologies. If your companion animal returns to the deceased companion animal's favorite sleeping spot, they may be brokenhearted. I hate that. That makes me cry so hard. I never, like, you know, humans can feel emotions, but when companion animals have these sad emotions, it makes me so sad because they're just so important and so beautiful. So just a quick little thing to wrap this up. I wanted to give a couple of tips on how you can help your grieving companion animal. So one way that you can help them is provide closure. Companion animals have a limited understanding of death and its finality. It's really hard. But if it's possible, let your companion animal see the body of its deceased friend. And then maybe it'll help them grasp the situation more and maybe be more cognizant that it's like their companion isn't going to come back. And it's really hard because, you know, when you're in the midst of all of it and you're just thinking about the companion animal that's passing away and making them comfortable and making them okay, that, you know, sometimes the things in the back of your head, you know, the things that you don't even think of is stuff like that. And so if it's possible to help them in their grieving process, I know sometimes, you know, like, you're already past that point and your companion animal has already passed away. But if you can just allow your companion animal that's around to see, that the other companion animal has passed. This one's hard. This one's really hard. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of these suggestions, I was like, what? And this one was one of them. So it basically says to control your emotions around your companion animal. And to me, I feel like as much as you really, really want to protect your companion animal and make sure that you're doing everything possible for your companion animal, stifling your own emotions in a time of grief can be dangerous for your own mental health. So while you don't want to be screaming and bawling really in front of your companion animal, I think it is important to still have emotions around them and to still show them your true self. And I think it's very important for your own mental health to ride that grief train and not stifle it. I mean, I am the poster child for why you shouldn't stifle your grief, because now I'm going on year 11 and I have so much unfinished business and have, I don't want to say wasted, but really not lived my full potential in 11 years because of me stifling my emotions and thinking my emotions were wrong and not wanting to share them with people. So I think that there's a fine line between controlling your emotions around your companion animal. I think that you can, you know, obviously not do certain behaviors in front of your companion animal, but also don't stifle how you feel because of your being nervous that your companion animal will read on it. Like, there are, like, a piece of us. Like, I feel genuinely companion animals are, like, a piece of us. And I can even smile at my dogs, but if I'm sad, they know I'm sad still. Like, they can see that I'm smiling, but they still know I'm sad. So I think that one's kind of tricky. The next one is allow time for adjustment. Absolutely. I agree with this 100%. I think that it's stressful for you and the companion animals that are left over. And I think just allowing time for adjustment for everybody in the household to get used to a new normal is really, really important. The next one, I agree with 100%, spend quality time with your companion animal. They need you just as much as you need them, especially in times of grief. So spend, you know, spend a little bit more time than you normally will. Shower them with TLC. Really show them that they're important to you and that you're thinking of them during this time as well. And, you know, I always try to kind of, the way I kind of try to look at this is I try to show my companion animals just as much admiration and love as they show me. And to be honest with you, it's very, very, very hard to do as a human being because they are so unequivocally loving and just beautiful souls that they don't, like, they are always in admiration of their humans. And I try to mirror that behavior. I can't do it all the time like they do, but I try to give them as much attention, affection, and love and admiration as they do to me. So just know that, you know, spending some quality time with those companion animals that are still around is super important as well. Try something new. So it says the packs change, so now's a good time to introduce new things. Find a new challenge that will distract your companion animal from their sadness and teach them something at the same time. Maybe buy them an interactive feeding toy, walk on a different trail, or visit a new dog park. I am not a proponent of dog parks. I don't really care for them. I think that while they can be very, very helpful for people that live in areas that their dogs don't have open space to run in, I also think that there's a lot of companion animal owners that don't really abide by the dog park rules or really train or keep in mind that their companion animals do not do right in the specific dog park situations. So I'm not saying you guys, but other people, like, just be careful if you guys do take your companion animals to dog parks. Always be vigilant and make sure that you're watching your companion animal. So the next one was respect the old. New things are fine, but companion animals like their basic routines. Try to keep the household on a track despite the disruption by keeping daily schedules as constant as possible. Regularly scheduled meal times, exercise times, play times, and bed times will help your companion animal feel more secure. And to be honest with you, I think this really helps with grief as well. Me personally, if I have a schedule and I keep to that schedule, it keeps me out of that, like, depression wormhole that can happen with grief. where, you know, you get into that, like, you feed them later and later and later, or you do things later and later, later, or less often, because you really just don't feel like doing it because you're depressed, because you're going through grief, which is all very normal things. But if you keep yourself held accountable to having that specific regularly scheduled time where you feed them at the meal time the same time you did before, and you exercise them the same time you did before, and you play with them, and you have bedtime the same time you did before, it not only helps them with their schedules, but it also helps you with, you know, holding yourself accountable and keeping up to the same schedule, that you don't fall into that depression portion as hard as, well, I did. And then the last is seek outside help. If your companion animal doesn't eat for several days, call your veterinarian. Continued behavior changes like depression or anxiety should also be addressed with your veterinarian. But you can also contact, you know, like the death doula that we interviewed, Lauren, she was great. And she would be even if you don't live in the area that she's in, she would be a great resource to talk to on how you can, you know, help your companion animal if they're going through grief. And she can give you a little bit more, maybe more tips or things that you can do, because she deals with death on a different scale when it comes to the loss of a companion animal. And so even if you're like anticipating, like say you have a companion animal that's sick or is aging, and you want to make the transition smooth for the companion animal passing as well as the other companion animals in the household, you can always reach out to Lauren Ward, and you can find her episode. I think she was episode 26 or 27 of last season, but you reach out to her and ask her, like, what are the best steps to go along with, you know, making sure that everybody's comfortable in this situation, because as much as it is about us, it's about them just as much more. And it's about all of them, not just the ones that are passing. So she would be a very good resource. Your veterinarian's a very good resource. And then they also, you know, there's also like behaviorists that you can cut and talk to, or, you know, maybe different, I don't know, like just different resources that don't ever feel like weird reaching out to, because this is all new for a lot of us. Every single time. Every single time, this is a new thing. You can put, you know, one animal, like one companion animal dies one way, you know, passes away one way, and then another one passes another way, and it's two completely different situations. You can grieve completely different. The companion animals can grieve completely different. So never feel like, oh, I should know what I'm doing by now, or I shouldn't have to ask, because at the end of the day, everything's different every single time. And so the last thing that I want to say, that I want to give a little bit of advice, is this too shall pass. And that goes for you and your other companion animals. So at the end of the day, their behavior might be changing. They might be acting out. They might be barking more. They might be tearing up your house or going to the bathroom inside the house. But at the end of the day, this too shall pass. And everybody, you'll get through this. It's hard and it's shitty and it's the part of life that sucks so freaking bad. But at the end of the day, we all will get through this and it will pass. So with that being said, I want to finish this episode. I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. If you want to reach out to us, feel free to reach out to us on all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok and Twitter. And or you can reach us by email, rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast@gmail.com or rainbowbridgeconnection21@gmail.com. And we will see you soon. We love you guys. Bye.